Good morning, brothers and sisters. We are thankful that God calls us to worship him and that we may do so even in these circumstances. May God have mercy on us, his people. May he find our hearts to be a fitting dwelling place, ready to receive his presence and the instruction of his word. We extend a warm welcome to any visitors and guests who are joining us today. May we all be strengthened and encouraged by the proclamation of the gospel of our risen Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Consistory has the following announcements. Consistory as elders and deacons will meet, the Lord willing, on Monday evening at 8 p.m. This meeting will be held using video link. Brother Connor Muhlenberg and Sister Jody Mesway from the Free Reformed Church of Armidale have indicated their intentions to enter into the married state according to the ordinance of God. They desire to begin this holy state in the name of the Lord and complete it to his glory. If no lawful objections are brought forward, the ceremony will take place, the Lord willing, Saturday the 9th of May at the Fairhaven Village Hall, commencing at 1 p.m. with Reverend D. Poppy officiating. This morning as well as this afternoon, Reverend Poppy will lead the worship service. Before we commence this service, let us sing Psalm 118, verse 8.
Brothers and sisters, please rise and let's worship the Lord. As God's people, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord, grace to you in peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's now sing a song of praise to our God. We're going to sing together from Psalm 103, the verses 1 and 7.
Thank you.
After establishing a covenant together with us, the Lord gave us his law in order to teach us how to live in that covenant relationship. Let's now listen to the words of God's law, and thereafter we're going to sing together from Psalm 106, the verses 3 and 22. This morning we'll listen to God's law as we find that in Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and who keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who lives within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let's now sing together from Psalm 103. We'll make confession of our sins and we'll also praise the Lord for his grace towards us. Psalm 106, verses 3 and 22. Now call upon the Lord in prayer and let's ask God for his blessing. Dear Father in heaven, on this Sunday morning, we are deeply grateful to you that you once again call us into your presence. Thank you for your grace towards us. The very first words you speak to us are words of your grace, and of the peace that that you extend to us. Lord, we are so grateful that this is your character. We understand that coming into your presence is a fearful thing for us, because we're sinners and we fall short of your commands. And we know that we've offended you, and in your holiness, you will not allow sinners to come before you. And then, Lord, we are so grateful that we don't come in our own strength, but that we come on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for us. We have the opportunity to approach your throne with freedom and confidence, because Jesus Christ has opened the way for us into your presence. And so, Lord, on this morning, we rejoice that we may come before you, that you are our God, and that we may be your people. And we do confess our sins to you. We just sang together, Lord, that together with our fathers, we've done what you abhor, that we are guilty of transgression. And so, Lord, we confess that to you. And we acknowledge that this past week we've done a number of different things, quite a few things, that are really displeasing in your sight, that offend you. And we humble ourselves before you because of that, and we pray for your forgiveness. Father, we thank you that we can ask this for of you. And we do it on the basis of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We're also grateful that you call us into your presence because you wish to tell us of what kind of a God you are. You wish to reveal your character to us. And you wish to teach us how to live in a relationship with you. We pray then, Father, for a blessing over the proclamation of the gospel. We ask that we may know you more and more, and that as we know you, that we grow to love you more and more. Please give us your Holy Spirit, that we may walk in intimate fellowship together with you, that as we know and love you, that we rest under your grace and pleasure. We also pray, Father, that you would please accept the songs that we sing. We love to sing to you, because we love praising you. We also ask that you would sanctify our prayers, that the Holy Spirit would make them right before you. Please also accept the thank offerings that we bring to you. Please use these for the well-being of your church around the world, especially in PNG, and also for the glory of your name. Father, please hear us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, this morning I get to preach the gospel to you as we find that in Psalm 127. We're going to look at the verses 3 to 5, which teach us about the blessing of the Lord in giving us children. And in connection with that, I'd first like to read with you. We're going to read from Genesis 1, the verses 26 to 31, and we'll read all of Psalm 127. So I invite you to open your Bible with me to page 1. Genesis 1, we're going to start reading at verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26, there the Word of God says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Then we turn in our reading to the book of Psalms. We're going to read together Psalm 127. Psalm 127, we'll read the entire psalm. It's a song of ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So far. Let's now sing together. We're going to sing from hymn 56, the verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. So the text of the sermon this morning is taken from Psalm 127. We're going to look at Psalm 127, the last few verses. So let's read those verses again. Psalm 127, the verses 3, 4, and 5. Verse 3, the word of God says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." Then after the proclamation of God's word, let's sing together. We're going to sing from the same psalm, Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4. Dear brothers and sisters, congregation loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the great gifts that the Lord loves to give to those who are married is the gift of children. In Psalm 127, Solomon, a man who's inspired by the Spirit with a great deal of wisdom, celebrates this gift of children. Children are a heritage, he says. They are a reward. And he concludes the psalm, "You are blessed if your quiver is full of them." You know, that's a perspective that comes back often in many other places in the scriptures. But it's not the attitude of many people in our society. When a lot of people get married these days, they're not necessarily looking forward to having children. Or if they do want children, then they want what's called the million-dollar family. Not sure if you know what that is. Some people say, if you look it up, it's a husband and wife who have two children, one son and one daughter. Well, first, what often happens is that parents want to pursue their own careers. And then at some point, the wife looks forward to having a child. They have one or two kids, and then they raise those kids. And very quickly, the wife ends up back in the workforce. Well, in that kind of situation, the picture we have is that children are a wonderful thing to have insofar as they advance the life of the parents. It's a great thing to be a father or to be a mother. And so it's good to have a few children to have that experience, but then most people look forward to carrying on with their own lives. They don't want too many children because that becomes too much of a burden. Now, we know from Scripture that this is not the way that our Father wishes us to think. We just read a few minutes ago about how God calls us to be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it. You know, there's a lot of people in our church who really understand that gift. The children are a gift of God. There are many families who've been blessed with many children. But at the same time, sometimes I have to wonder about it, brothers and sisters. In my interaction with different people, I wonder whether or not we're beginning to take up this attitude of the culture around us. Do the younger families still understand that children are a gift of the Lord? Do you young families look forward to having a house full of children? In this way to serve the Lord and to worship Him as His people? You know, when I ask the question of some people, not everybody has that attitude. There's some people who've lost the perspective. And then I wonder, well, why is that? Is it because of financial reasons? Is it because of personal reasons? Can we not be bothered to have children? Do we think maybe we don't have enough money for it? Or is it maybe because we can't handle it? Or there's some other reasons? That's really good for us to reflect on what the Scripture has to say about these things. To open the Word of God to consider what God thinks about the gift of children, and especially considering the culture in which we live. And so this morning I preach God's Word to you at this theme, the Lord blesses His people with children. We'll see in the first place God's gift of children, and then secondly, how children are a blessing. And so the fundamental perspective of our text, brothers and sisters, is that children are a gift of God. We shouldn't look at them in the first place as a liability, but we should receive children as a gift. It's a blessing. It's a sign of God's favor. That's what it says here in verse 3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Well, if you wish to have a biblical perspective on the gift of children, then you need to think about this word heritage in verse 3. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The word refers to a possession, to some property, or most commonly to an inheritance. God is teaching us here that when He gives us children, He's giving us one of His possessions. But in this case, it's not just a thing, but it's one of His most treasured possessions. It's one of His people. It's part of His inheritance. A heritage, an inheritance, is something of value that a parent passes along to one of their children as a blessing to them. Well, that's also in line with the very next thing that God says. He says, the fruit of the womb is a reward. God wants to give you a reward. He wants to give you a beautiful thing. And the very next image, He compares children to arrows in the hands of a warrior. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Well, if you think of an archer going into battle, if the archer doesn't have any arrows, and he's going to be useless. The Lord says we should adopt a similar attitude towards children. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. God's saying it should be one of the greatest joys that you have when you receive the gift of children out of His hand. It's really important that when the Lord gave the command to have children subdue the earth, He actually gave the command in the context of a blessing. It's quite striking. We read Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He blesses them, and with that blessing, He calls them to be fruitful and to multiply. And so when you think of the gift of children, then you ought to think of it in the first place as a profound gift and blessing of the Lord. You know, that's the attitude that's often shown us in the scriptures as well. In Genesis 24:60, the blessing that Rebekah's mother and brothers gave to her when she left to be Isaac's wife is that they said to her, "Our sister, may you become thousands of ten thousands." They just really wanted their sister to become great, that she had many children and many descendants. It's in Genesis 33. It's in verse 5 there. Jacob meets up again with his brother Esau. And Esau's wondering. He gets to see all these flocks and herds, and especially all these children and all these people. And he asks him about that. He says, "Who are all these people?" Jacob says to him, "The children whom God has graciously given to your servant." God's really been gracious to me. And as a reflection of that graciousness, he's given me all these different children. That's in fact one of the blessings that God promised to his people. It's back in Deuteronomy 28. He promises all these blessings for his people who serve him faithfully. He says to them, in verse 4, "If you fully obey the Lord your God, not only will you receive flocks and herds and peace and security, but it also says, blessed shall be the fruit of your womb. You will receive children as a sign of my blessing." You know, it's really beautiful when you read the scriptures, you see how often that's the case. It's not always the case. There are situations where there's profound brokenness and grave distress in families. There's also many situations where the Lord shows what an incredible blessing children are. I have to think of Genesis 50. "And Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were counted as Joseph's own." That's literally what the text says here. It says that they were brought up on Joseph's knees. And so here you have a great-grandfather who's surrounded by his kids, his grandkids, his great-grandkids, and these great-grandchildren are brought up on his knee. He had time for the little ones, and he loved spending time together with them. Or in Job 42, we're given a similar image. Job lived to be 140 years old, and he saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. The picture we're given is that these grandparents, these old men, they had a profound joy in the gift of their grandchildren. That's also something it says in Proverbs 17, verse 6, "Grandchildren are the crown of the aged." With all these things, the Lord shows us what a blessing children are, brothers and sisters. We might wonder to yourself, what does that mean for us in terms of everyday life? Does that mean that you should strive to have as many children as you possibly can? It's really interesting in the Bible, the Lord never tells us how many children a family should have. You know, obviously that makes sense because everybody's situation is different. But the Lord does give us some perspective. He wants us to have children. That's the calling, page 1 of the Bible. Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. And then he tells us how to think about those children. He says, don't think of them as a burden, but think of them as a blessing. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. And then you think about real life, that gets worked out differently in everyone's life. Isaac and Rebekah, their quiver is full with two sons. They have Jacob and Esau. Or you have Hannah, the mother of Samuel. She was blessed with three sons and with two daughters. Or Job's quiver was full with 20 children. First he has seven sons and three daughters who die, and later on he receives another seven sons and another three daughters. The important thing is just the perspective, the viewpoint. God teaches us to receive children as a blessing from God. It's in the words of Psalm 128, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Well, it's quite a different perspective than what's put forward in our society today. God calls us to believe what he says to us, brothers and sisters. Children are a blessing, and he wants us to receive our children in that way. It's quite a privilege that God teaches this to us. You know, most people around us, they don't know the Lord anymore. They don't know how to live a blessed life. They don't know what that looks like. And so they imagine that maybe they should have one or maybe two children, and then they should pursue whatever it is that they want to do. But, you know, real life, if you think about that, you know, it's down the track. Sometimes it happens to them when they get older, and sometimes these people are quite lonely and quite isolated. But sometimes it happens, another way it gets played out in their lives is that they expect a child, but then at some stage they think they're not ready for that, or they don't want a child, and so they have an abortion. As it turns out here in Australia, it's the way they figure it, it's about a quarter of the pregnancies here in Australia end off in abortion. A lot of men and women are not in stable relationships. The woman gets abandoned by the man, or maybe she's pressured by him to have an abortion because he's not ready for the responsibility. Or they can't see how a child will fit into their plans. And so it's easier for them to have an abortion. Well, it's only later that they find out about the violation, about the sense of loss, about the guilt and the shame that comes along with that. You'd be really thankful that God's grace is big enough for this sin as well. But up front, our Father teaches us a very different attitude so that we never sin in this way. The Lord tells us right away, he says, children are a blessing, and receive them as a gift from my hand. And so when I teach a premarriage course to my young people, it's one of the questions I always address. I ask them, are you looking forward to having children? Receiving them from the Lord? You know, over the years, it's been sad for me how many young people have said to me, we'd love to have children, but we're not ready for them quite yet. And then we get into a conversation, and I ask them about that, and I say, well, what are you thinking? Where are you at with that? Then oftentimes they say, well, we just like to enjoy each other for a while first. We're not quite ready for the responsibility of children. Or some of them say to me, they say, well, financially, we'd love to be far more secure financially before we go on and have children. And I ask them, I say, you know, is that biblical? Is that the perspective that your Father in heaven gives you? Have you reckoned with the biblical teaching that children are a blessing from the Lord? And that God wishes to make your life rich and to bless you with his children? You know, if I think about it, it's probably not just an issue for the young people, brothers and sisters. Our children adopt the attitudes in the first place that they witness in our homes. And sometimes it happens in our homes that children are a lot of work. And the kids pick that up. Implicitly, somehow, they understand if mom and dad see children as a great chore and a lot of work and a burden, then the kids pick that up. And that's the attitude that they develop in their own thinking. Or sometimes it happens to us that our conversation is always about money. And we see, we grow up in these families sometimes where mom and dad are always stressed out about money, and then in that context, then having children is seen as a great financial burden. Well, if we're sinning in that, brothers and sisters, then we need to repent. God tells us that children are a blessing, and God calls us to receive them from his hand and to bring them up in the fear of his name. In faith, we say, yes, Lord, and we do what he calls us to do. That's not to say that it's easy to have children. It's not to say that having children isn't a lot of work. It's not easy. It's a stunning amount of work to bring up children. But God didn't put us here to live a life of comfort. We're not here for our own pleasure, for our own self-indulgence. We're here to live for his glory and for his joy. And part of that, he tells us, is to receive children and to bring them up in the fear of his name. And you know, if you read our text, brothers and sisters, there's also another nuance here that we should pay attention to. The Holy Spirit teaches us that we don't conceive children of our own strength. This is really a matter of the Lord's blessing. There's a lot of people who don't understand that. I don't know if you've been asked the question, but my wife and I, we've often been asked the question, so how many children are you going to have? As if it's our decision how many children the Lord will give us. But our text tells us the opposite. There's nothing automatic about having children. Children are a blessing of the Lord. In that sense, what it says in verses 3 to 5 of our text is very closely associated with what it says in the first two verses. Verses 1 and 2, it says that you can't build a house without the Lord's blessing. You can't keep watch over something without the Lord's blessing. You need the Lord's blessing to succeed in whatever you do. And in that sense, you also need the Lord's blessing to receive children. That's why when a couple gets married, that's always the prayer that we offer to them, for them. We humbly ask of God, if it pleases you to give them children, confirm your covenant to them and to their children. You know, it's not to say that the Lord always does this. In some families, the Lord decides not to give children. Or maybe that people have to wait a long time before the Lord gives any children. Or maybe the Lord gives one child or two children, and the people would love to have a house full of them. It can be an immense trial when these things happen. You know, that's also the picture that we see in the scriptures. There are a number of women who are barren. They often have a real struggle together with that. You have Genesis 18, verse 12. When Sarah overhears the Lord say to Abraham that she's going to have a child, then she laughs to herself. She thinks, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have this pleasure? Is it really going to happen? Can I have the pleasure of having a child? And it's the same for Rachel. Genesis 30, verse 1, we're told that she's jealous of her sister because Leah has children and she doesn't. Or it's in 1 Samuel 1, we're told of the great struggle that Hannah has because of her barrenness. She often wept and she refused to be comforted by her husband. Or in 2 Kings 4, we're told of the Shunammite woman who desires a son. You know, so often it's happened in the history of the church that women have looked forward to having children and they haven't received them from God's hand. Well, the question becomes, what does it mean for these people? If children are a blessing, does that mean that they're not blessed? Well, you know, there are occasions in the scriptures where barrenness is a sign of God's displeasure. I think, for example, of Genesis 20, verse 8, they were told that the Lord closed up the womb of the women in Abimelech's household because Abimelech took Sarah as his wife, even though she was the wife of Abraham. But you know, that's not the only picture that we have of barrenness in the scriptures. It's really important to notice that many of the women who were barren at one time ended up having a really significant place in the history of redemption. Sarah was barren for a very long time, but in the end, she bore Isaac, who was one of the greatest figures in the history of redemption. Or you have Hannah. She was barren all this time, but finally she bore Samuel, who became the great prophet of the Lord. We think of Elizabeth, who all her life, until she was an old lady, she was barren. But then finally, in her old age, she bears John the Baptist, of whom Jesus Christ says there is no one greater than John. Well, in these cases, the barrenness of these women drove them to the Lord. They lived in humble dependence upon him, and they asked him for his blessing. It was by withholding children that the Lord taught these women patience and faithfulness and obedience. And so we should never say that barrenness is to be understood as a sign of God's displeasure. In his providence, the Lord often uses also this as a way of drawing his children close to himself. The fact is that the Lord knows us, and he knows what we need, and he loves us, and he gives us what's in our very best interest. It can be hard, and it's one of the most difficult things that a couple may have to endure. But the Lord is a loving God, and he has our best interest at heart. And so in faith, we can also accept this as coming out of his hand. We also have to celebrate the gift of those women in our churches who have not received children. Because many times for them, children are such an immense blessing. And they understand the gift of children. And then when the rest of the people who have children get to see it through their eyes, then they get to see for a moment again how utterly special it is to have children. And what a great privilege and what a great blessing of God it is to receive those children from the hand of the Lord. But at the same time, let's also pray for these women, for these families, for these men. Let's ask God to carry them through this and to give them His patience and to give them great faith during the trial that they live through. That leads us to the second point then, that children are a blessing. Now, even though the scriptures speak of children as a blessing, it's not always obvious to us. Now, sometimes it happens that we're worn out because of our children. Sometimes it happens that we can lose patience. Sometimes children cause an enormous amount of anxiety for their parents because of the wrong choices that they make. And so you could ask the question, well, in what way are children really a blessing? Well, the scriptures, one of the great ways in which children are a blessing is that it's through children that the family line is continued. We have to understand, in Israel, this is one of the greatest things that families sought for. We today, we have a hard time identifying with that because we live in a culture in which everybody is an individual. But in scriptures, people were aware that they were part of a covenant community, that they're part of a family line, and everyone was looking forward to the continuation of the family line. And that's not just an Old Testament, it's not just a Jewish peculiarity. In the scriptures, family lines are seen in the context of God's covenant dealings with His people. Children are covenant children. They're the church of the next generation. And so the blessing that the patriarchs received is the promise that their posterity would become a great nation. Here you see that children are one of the greatest blessings that God could ever give to a person. Well, it's a perspective that we can learn from, that we need to adopt. But on top of that, brothers and sisters, just in terms of real life, you know what a blessing it is to have children. If you've ever had a child, maybe you remember what it's like to cuddle your new baby, to breathe in a whiff of that new baby smell, to hear their little cries, their little cooing. It's really heartwarming to watch your children explore their world, get to witness for the first time what it's like for them to smile or to enjoy different kinds of tastes. Or it's beautiful to get to know these little people, to watch their characters develop, and to enjoy who they are. Seeing them develop, it gives you a real sense of joy. You get to see what a blessing they are. As life progresses, you get to share your heart with them, and they share your heart with you. And you get to have so many shared experiences. You have this family culture that develops, and there's so much blessing that happens in the context of these families. And as your children grow up, you end up getting into this position where it's no longer the dominant relationship is not one of parent and child, but the main relationship is that you're brothers and sisters in Christ. And you encourage and build each other up, and you enjoy each other, and you love one another. Well, it's not to say that that's always how it turns out. In real life, kids are not always a joy. Sometimes they disobey you. They fight with each other, they argue, they complain, they refuse to do their chores, they'll take a permanent marker and they'll write on your brand new furniture, or they'll walk past your car and they'll scratch your paint up. Is it possible to see your children as a blessing then? Or you have a young mom, she has a new baby, and she takes care of this baby all day long, she's up at 1 a.m, and then at 5 a.m. she's up again. She's bleary-eyed through her day. She's holding out for the time where she can finally have a nap. Is it easy to see your children as a blessing then? But you know what happens? It's as we care for our children day after day, week after week, year after year, you have this mom who learns the satisfaction of giving of herself for the sake of her children. She learns deep down what it is to live a life of service. She learns that it is better to give than to receive, as the Lord Jesus Christ taught us. Our Lord Jesus Christ poured out his life to redeem us. And as we love our children, as we serve them, as we teach them and train them, we get to learn a little bit of what that life looks like. And we not only grow through the endless service, we also grow through some of the conflicts that we experience through our children. No one can push your buttons like your kids can. It's as we grow up that we get to see something of our own pride, something of our own selfishness. We get to see something of the own sinfulness of our own hearts. And it's through our children often that it happens that we humble ourselves before the Lord, and that we have to ask him for his grace, and that the Lord, he renews our character and he makes us into new people. Well, if God gives us children, then we are to receive them as gifts out of his hand. And then what happens often is later in life, you get to receive the immense blessing that from our adult children. When we get a little older, then parents don't have the ability to do as much as they used to do. They have a harder time taking care of things and dealing with the difficult things in life. Well, how beautiful it is to be surrounded by faithful children during that stage of life. I have to think of the words of 1 Timothy 5 verse 4. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God. It's really beautiful when your children love you, and when in service to God they look after you in your old age. And you know, it's in verse 5 of our text that the Lord also talks about another way in which children are a blessing. First it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. And then it continues, he shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemy in the gate, with his enemies in the gate. You know, in the first place, you could understand this literally. If you remember that back in Israel, that the gate was the place where transactions were enacted. The city gate, that was where the elders sat, and that's where the justice of the community was administered. Well, if you went to the city gate, if you went to perform some transaction, or if you're involved in some dispute of some sort, and if you're surrounded by a healthy cohort of young sons, then when you come to the gate, you're going to receive what is your due. You're going to be respected. The enemy knows that you don't stand alone, but you're served in the battle with your children. But you know, if you read this text, there's probably more to it than just that. The greatest conflict, the greatest context within which this text is written is the ultimate battle that's being fought between the Lord and the devil. Well, children are born in the context of this spiritual warfare, this age-old enmity between Christ and Satan. Those children who are born to believing families are taught about who the Lord is, and they learn how to serve the Lord in the course of their lives. And that's God's intention. His intention is to build up a kingdom. His intention is to gather his people to himself, to build up his church here in this world. And God tells us that one of the primary ways by which he does that is through faithful families who receive children from him and who train up their children to know and love him. And so if you are faithful, if you have children, receive children from God, if you bring them up in the fear of the Lord, then you serve God's purpose here in this world. You build up his kingdom. That makes an immense blessing for the Lord in order to establish his church and in order to grant a blessing for the rest of the society. Where the church is strong, then the enmity will be maintained. And so children must be born to the Lord in the covenant. That's really interesting in that context. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, maybe you just want to open that passage with me for a moment. 1 Timothy 2, we have a similar thought that's expressed. You might even say to yourself that this is the New Testament counterpart to what it says in Psalm 127. So it's 1 Timothy, it's chapter 2. We're going to look there at verse 15. we here? So 1 Timothy 2, verse 15. So the context there is that Paul is teaching about the place of women within the congregation, within the church. And at the end of it all, he says in verse 15, he says, "Yet she will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with self-control." Well, here you have the counterpart to Psalm 127. Just as a warrior seeks a quiver full of arrows, so a woman seeks to fulfill her share in the great battle, in the enmity of the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. The Lord wishes us to have children because he wishes to build up his kingdom. Well, brothers and sisters, if you think of what God teaches us here in Psalm 127, you really have to humble yourself before the Lord. You have to realize that we live in a culture that's really lost their way. We have to ask the Lord to help us with this, that we receive children as a blessing out of his hand, and that we seek to raise our children to know and love him. Let's ask our Father to forgive us for the sinful attitudes that we may have adopted. Let's ask him to renew us and to live in us, to receive children as a gift from his hand. Now, being a parent is not going to be easy, but we do it in faith before God. And when we do it in faith, then we'll experience that our children are indeed a great blessing from his hand. Our Father knows us. He's leading us to glory. And in his wisdom, he gives us children as an important part of our walk with him. Let's thank God for the gift of children. Let's be faithful in raising them up. Let's really love them. One of the greatest gifts is the gift of love. Give your kids a hug and tell them how much you love them and thank them for one way in which they're a blessing in your life. Now, let's also remember those in our congregation who have not received children from the hand of the Lord. Let's ask God to be near to them, to comfort them, and to also carry them. Let's also adopt them into our family. Let's show them the love of Christ. Amen. Let's now sing together. We're going to sing for this psalm from Psalm 127, verses 3 and 4. Now call upon the Lord in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come before your throne of grace and we thank and praise you for the gift of children. Lord, we believe that children are a gift out of your hand. They don't come automatically, but it's a sign of your pleasure and your favor. We receive children as a blessing from you. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us that children are a blessing. And thank you for instructing us to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth and take care of it. Thank you, Father, that you also give us this blessing, that there are so many families in our congregation that you have blessed richly with the gift of children. Father, we pray that you would please help us as parents to raise our children in the fear of your name. And we pray that we may do so with the right attitude, that we may do so in faith, that we may love our children from the heart, that we may understand that children are a blessing out of your hand, and that we may receive them as such. We ask, Father, that you would please work repentance in our hearts where we see children as a liability and a burden. Please forgive us at times for our selfishness. Forgive us, Father, at times for the ways in which we're so focused on ourselves that we don't want to be burdened by children. Forgive us, Father, for thinking that it's a burden financially and that we won't be able to live the kind of lifestyle that we want if we have children. We repent of our sin and we ask you for your forgiveness. Instead, Father, we pray that you would dwell in our hearts with your Holy Spirit and that you give us the attitude and perspective that children are a rich gift out of your hand. Grant that we may receive them as such, and grant that we may thus have much blessing in our lives. Lord, we're so grateful for this teaching of Scripture, and we pray that we may take it to heart. We ask, Lord, that you would please also bless the young families and the young people in our congregation, that they may understand that children are a gift out of your hand. And then, Lord, where you have given the gift of children, we also pray that you would please give us the strength and the energy and the ability to raise them to know and love you. Sometimes it's a lot of work. Sometimes it's even overwhelming. Sometimes we have so many responsibilities we don't know how we're going to do it all. In that case, Father, we pray that you help us, that you give us what we need, that you strengthen us for the task that you set before us. Give us also wisdom, Lord, that we may be able to make these decisions in a good way in faith before you. And then, Father, we also wish to ask that you be with those families where people do feel overwhelmed. We ask that you give us what we need to be able to go forward in faith, and that we may continue to have the perspective that you wish us to have. Father, we also want to bring before you those who have not been able to receive children out of your hand. But that's an incredibly difficult place to be. And we grieve with them and for them. And we ask you for your grace in these families. We pray, Father, that you would be near to those in this circumstance, that you be a father to them, and that you carry them, and that you love them, and that you also surround them with many others who know and love them. We pray, Lord, that you give the peace and comfort of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you grant that in faith that they may go forward before you, and that they may also be at peace and at rest. Such a gift of your Spirit. And so we ask that you would please bless us in that. And we also pray, Father, that you would help us who have parents who are elderly. Please grant that we may look after our parents in their old age. Help us to love them. And help us to look after them. We pray, Father, that we may walk in faith before you so that our parents don't have to worry about us. We pray, Lord, that you would please help us to care for them, that we look after the physical needs. There's a lot of things they can't do anymore. And we also look after them spiritually and emotionally, that we carry our parents and that we love them and that we show them your grace and your kindness. Dear Father in heaven, we also pray that you be with the children of our congregation, that they may respect their parents, that they may obey them, and that in this way as well, that there can be a beautiful spirit in families. Grant that we as fathers and as mothers may bring our children up in the fear of your name, that we don't exasperate our children, but rather that we encourage them and that we strengthen them in their faith in you. Please grant your blessing over our families, that there may be much joy, that there may be great faith, and that there can be a real spirit of cooperation in living and working for you. And that we also pray, Father, that through our families, that we may be a blessing within our culture and society. We ask that your kingdom would be established here on earth, that as we faithfully do our task, that within our sphere of influence, that we're able to lead to the establishment of your kingdom here on earth. Grant that others get to see that, that they get to realize what it looks like to live as your children, that others are drawn to you, that they may wish to know you and to love you and to grow in relationship with you. Father, we pray that you would be with all those who are also struggling. We ask that you would please be a father to those who need you in special ways. We have this time now where all the families spend a lot of time together in close quarters. And it's when we are together a lot that sometimes we get on each other's nerves. And we say and do selfish things. And we can be really proud. And we can cause conflict. And we can be disobedient. And so we pray for your forgiveness and for your help in that. Grant instead that we may have a beautiful time where we love and encourage each other and where it goes well for us. Lord, when we stand before you, we realize how much we need your help in all these things. And that we're so grateful for the gift of our Lord Jesus and for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Please forgive us for our sins and please strengthen us with your Spirit that we may live and walk in faith before you and that it may go well with us. We pray that you would hear us now, that you bless us in the rest of our day, that you give us a good day in serving you and in fellowship with each other, and that you allow us to come back this afternoon to hear the proclamation of the gospel once again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, you now have the opportunity to give your thank offerings to the Lord. The collection this morning and for the rest of this day is for the Canadian the mission work in Papua New Guinea. In connection light with that, I'd like to read just a few verses with you. I'd like to read with you from the first verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8, there we read, the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us." So the Macedonians had this attitude where in their great poverty, they gave generously. Well, let's ask the Lord to give us that same generosity as we support the spreading of the gospel. But in closing, let's now sing together from Psalm 128. I invite you to rise and we're going to sing the verses 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. receive now the blessing of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.